I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman and Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, allaussieradio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, and we start off in Tasmania.
Yes, we're at Don, which is a suburb of Devonport.
Don
is good.
Don is good. And so is the suburb of Don in Tasmania. And we are actually at the Bank Model Railway. And what a fantastic place that is.
Oh, it is. Yeah, husband and wife team, and they've built it. And it's just, yeah, it's great for all ages.
It is. It's a magnificent feat of what they've done.
Yes.
Okay. And they've got that wonderful coffee shop.
Yes.
Where you can have a lovely coffee outside. But when you go in, you just think that's it.
Yep.
It's one room, but no, it doesn't
end
there.
You go outside and into the backyard and there's more.
There's more. And it's not only just a model railway. It is actually, it's like a...
It's a village.
It's a village.
Yeah.
And you really have to look at this, listeners, because in this village that they've set up where they've got the trains, they've also got cars and they've got a wedding scene. There's people getting married and they're working, like little figures of what's going on in this thing they've created.
Yep.
And they've also got a fire-breathing dragon there too.
Yes, they have.
For all the kids.
Yeah, but we forgot. We are talking to Audrey about this.
We're talking to Audrey. Now, Audrey, who runs it with her husband, she's not only running this, she's also a professional entertainer.
Yes, she is.
She goes by the name of Gina Davidson, and she's a cabaret singer.
Yep.
Now, before we start the discussion with her, I just want to let our listeners know we're going to play one of her songs.
Great.
Leading into her little interview with us.
Great.
Now, straight after that.
You're talking to Jeff Diath from Checkweight.
Now, Jeff hasn't been on the program for a little while because he's so busy now with Checkweight, going absolutely gangbusters, selling franchise everywhere, which is fabulous because it's a very important subject, the weights, the acronyms. People need to be doing the right thing.
Yep, and this week we're talking about the 300 Series Land Cruiser.
300 Series listeners, you better check this one out if you're thinking of maybe buying a 300, getting out of your old 200 and getting into a 300. And straight after that.
You're talking to Debbie and Chrissy, who you met at the Monday Bash.
A couple of volunteers.
Yes.
Working at the Monday Bash. And that Monday Bash, that's sensational, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
All right. And if you want to be a volunteer, listen to what Deb and Chrissy have to say about that, folks. Now, apart from all these great discussions, we've also got a fantastic selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think?
On with the show!
Crazy. Crazy for feeling so lonely. Crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you loved me as long as you wanted, and babe, you'd leave me for somebody new. Why do I let myself worry? Wondering what in the world did I do? Oh, crazy for thinking that my crying, and I'm crazy for loving you. thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
G'day listeners, Phil C here. This is Roaming Oz and we're at Don in Tasmania and I'm chatting with Audrey, and Audrey is from the Don Bank Model Railway. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you very much, Phil. And how are you?
I'm fabulous. We're having a wonderful time in Tasmania and this is a lovely place. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, Audrey, tell us a little bit about your railway. I mean, people think of a railway. This is a railway. I mean, this is magnificent, really.
And don't forget to say it's a model, because otherwise people think they can ride on it.
No, no, no.
It's very uncomfortable.
We said model railway, yeah, but this is a model city.
It is, yes.
You've got everything here. You've got a railway station, which is called Duckenford Station, that's just a creation
that's
of you?
That's just everything out of my brain, whatever's lurking in there. It's a fanciful world of little people going about their lives, how I envision a nice world would be.
It is. Yeah. And you've even got a couple over there in front of a church getting married.
Yes, they are.
You've thought of everything.
A bit of everything. They've even got the caterers there. The caterers are there serving hot pies and everything. And we've got the town square that I've built around. It's modelled on, as I say, a little bit of Germany and a bit of England.
Okay.
Because I was born in England and my husband's German. So a bit of a mishmash of ideas there. So, like, you'll see the buildings that the main station there is actually a German station.
Okay.
But I've given it an English name.
You've given it an English name, yes.
Yes.
And you've also got cable cars, which
cable
I guess that comes from Germany. And they
no,
operate?
Actually, that's modelled on an English one.
An English one?
Yep. If which one is it? I think there's one in London called the Dingle. Oh, what's it called? No, I can't even think now. You've caught me now.
That's okay.
I've called it the Dingle Way.
The Dingle.
It's modelled on the one in London.
Okay, so the cable cars, the Dingle Way, modelled on the one in London. It works.
It works.
It's not just for show.
No, it works. People love that. And I've even got little chickens that jump around that work.
That's magnificent.
Yes.
So they're not just models that sort of sit there. Everything works.
Well, that's the idea. There's obviously a lot of projects still in the works.
Okay.
The dragon's got to come out
I was going to ask you about the dragon. You've got a dragon here just for the benefit of the kids.
That's right.
How does that dragon work? is there a button you're going to press and the kids are going to get to wake up the dragon?
Yeah, there'll be a button that I press.
That you press?
It's my railway, so I get to.
Oh, you get to,
I get to
press the button.
Get to press the button for that one.
Otherwise, the kids will be just mesmerised by the dragon.
Doing it all day. Yeah.
Now, with the village, it is a big village. There's lots of buildings in this particular village. You built the buildings yourself, is that correct?
It's half of them.
Okay.
The other half are kits.
Uh-huh.
But the ones I've built over the years out of different materials along the way. So, a bit of everything.
Okay. Now, how long have you been into trains, you and your husband?
Oh, since we were little. It's
really?
One of those things that's come and gone, but we've had businesses over on the mainland.
Yes.
We had one in Teesdale, just near Geelong. We had that for a while. That was an outdoor one, the same scale, which is the G gauge, or the 132.
Okay.
So it's a mixture of both. And we've also got a bit of HO to give a little bit of distance. So there's a bit of HO with the buildings in the background. So it's basically 132 scale with a little bit of the G scale, which is the 122 scale.
Because you own the Emerald Lake Model
Railway, which
is the biggest
HO
scale
in the Southern Hemisphere.
Now, how long did you have that one?
5 years. So from 2010 to 2015, we totally renovated it because it was looking a bit sad and dusty and tired. So we totally renovated that, sold that off, didn't have railways for a couple of years, and then we thought, we do love it, but if we don't get people coming to look at it and go, wow, that's fantastic, you kind of lose the
edge.
It's really nice to see people's faces. That's one of the reasons why we do it, because it's a bit of an ego boost. Yeah. And when people walk in and go, ooh, that's good.
Well,
go,
it worked on me.
Yeah, yeah.
It worked on me, and this is the reason why we're here, because people told us, you know, if you're going to visit Don, you've got to come to this model railway. So we want to get more people to come to this.
Yeah, well, that's why we moved here, because it's so close to the Don River Railway.
Right.
That people can park over there, and we're just across the little walkway bridge, just around the corner. Come in while they're there. Come on over here. You can hear the real train.
We can hear
then
the real
you heard
train,
the real
yes.
train blowing its whistle. So come on over here too. Say hi. Grab a coffee because I've got my barista coffees going as well.
That's a great thing.
Have a cup of tea or a cider or something.
And
come on in. So the model railway is indoors and outdoors. The trains go out into the garden, go over a pond. So you can get both visualisations inside and outside.
I was going to ask you that. So how long is the track? Because it starts inside, or we start inside as we come through past your coffee shop.
Yeah.
You're inside, and
then
there's tunnels,
and
the trains disappear.
They go outside. I think my husband, didn't he tell you, about 200-something metres?
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit longer than that, because I see him out here sometimes at night sneaking extra tracks in.
Putting a
when
few
I'm not
more
looking.
Tracks.
So I think it's a bit longer than that.
He's trying to get this back to the mainland.
Yeah, I think it's more like a kilometre.
Now, apart from the trains, you've also got vehicles, motor vehicles, Skyelectrics that's built into it as well.
Yeah, the Skyelectric. Well, so, they're not quite working yet. That is a project. That'll probably be the last thing
to
that
you'll
be working on, because that's a lot of thinking involved, because we've got to time the boom gates with the cars stopping, with the trains going through and the boom gates coming down. So there's a little bit of thought in that one. So
technology.
We've got to build up to that one.
Obviously, because you wouldn't want kids pressing buttons and racing cars through the middle of town and crashing into trains, would you?
Yeah, running over my little people. It doesn't look good.
So when it's all finished, the car side of it, the Skyelectric side, it'll all be automated.
Yeah.
The gates, the boom gates will open, the trains will stop, the cars will go through.
That's the plan.
It's a plan. It's a fabulous plan. Now, how long have you been here in Don doing this?
2 years ago we actually started. We built the table to put the model railway on, but we've only been here 2.5 years. We moved over from the mainland during COVID.
Right.
We thought we'd take the chance. We'd always wanted to come to Tassie and retire here. And COVID just hurried up our plans a little bit. So we thought, no, let's go now. Let's do it.
When you think of it, COVID was probably the perfect time to come, because you would have been here, you would have been pretty much landlocked or housebound, which gave you the opportunity to put all this together.
That's
right. So how long did it take you to put what we see now together?
I would say if you put all the months, because in winter time we didn't really work out, it was too cold to paint and do stuff. So if you put all the months together, about a year.
That's a magnificent feat. I would have thought you've been here for many years, because you've got walls painted with scenery and buildings, and you've even got that little dragon up there.
And real waterfall with real water coming down. Did you see that in the corner there?
I didn't actually see that. I saw the waterfall outside, because, listeners, when you go outside, there's a pond out there.
Yeah, no, we've got the waterfall there going into the canal, so we've got a canal going. I was going to put fake water in there, and I said to my husband, can't we have the real thing?
Can't you have the real thing?
Can't we have the real thing going?
Absolutely.
And he said yes, so that feeds down the waterfall there, through under the bridges there, through the Harry Potter car. Some people don't notice it, but Harry Potter fans
Harry Potter, yes.
So he's about ready to
He's
fly.
About ready to take off. I've just noticed that. The front wheels are up in the air.
Yeah, and then the police have pulled over all those naughty girls in that car there, that fancy car. They're telling them off of doing something naughty. We've got the horses over there, and it goes through the town and it disappears.
It does.
I won't tell you where it goes, because it's a secret. I'd have to kill you.
You'd have to kill me if you told me? Yeah. Will you tell the people who come in, though?
I will tell them.
But there really is a lot going on, like the police car, for example.
And I've got the eye spies here, so for little kids or anybody who can't hone in on little things, you know, can you see the man fishing?
Yes.
How many pigs has the farmer bought? Can you see someone sleeping who should be working?
Uh-huh,
What are the men doing inside the little shed there?
What's that? They're making home brew.
It's something malty.
Okay. Can but look, even the fellow over there, he's welding. Yeah, you've got the welding lights lighting up.
Yeah, there's so many things. You're limited by your imagination.
By your imagination.
And money.
and when you come in, you really do have to pay attention because there's so much going on.
Yeah, I like to have. I mean, I've seen lots of railways in my life.
Yes.
And I've found that there's different theories. Some people just want to run trains and forget about any scenery.
Anything else. Yes.
Oh, that's fine. And then there's some people that just do scenery and nothing's really happening. But to put them both together, that there's actually stories going on and the trains, this would be boring if there was no trains. I would find it if there wasn't any movement.
Any movement.
And then I'd find it boring if it was just trains. But to get it together at the same time, it's... tries to please everybody.
Well, look, it's everything's going on.
Yeah,
it's almost like this place is,
that's what I call it, a ticket to life.
That's what it is.
Little stories going on. So each little scene, there's something. People aren't just plonked. I told my husband off the other day because he'd gone up here on the board and he'd done something, moved something, and he'd moved one of my people. And I said, what is that person doing just standing out in the middle of nowhere? Who stands out in the middle of nowhere by themselves?
Council worker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're usually in a group.
Well, you have to put a stop and go sign on that part.
You can't be just standing there just doing nothing.
Doing nothing.
There has to be some kind of... Everybody's got a story. They're doing something or talking or they're thinking of something. I don't know. There's always something going on. So that's in my head. Look, I always think, make it interesting.
I think it's magnificent. You've obviously got a fantastic imagination to have come up with not just buildings but scenes that work, i.e. the police car pulling over the pretty girls in the sports car.
And doing naughty things.
And the chap over there welding and... The couple getting drunk
over at the Red Dragon pub.
Oh, yes.
They're all getting partied. In fact, somebody's fallen over.
Fallen over, and then you've got their lovers sitting here under the tree, hand in hand, and the bakery. Look, this is an absolute magnificent.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
It is magnificent. And I cannot wait to do a revisit because I can just imagine... People come today and then come and say, oh, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Come back 6 months later, they're going to be so much more done to it.
Yeah,
it's just going to continue to grow, isn't it?
I hope so. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'm lost for words because it is fabulous.
Yeah. I would love to see some of your listeners. That would be lovely to see.
The idea of us coming here and they said, if you're going to Don... Don't worry about the big railway. Go and see the model railway.
Oh, no, see them both.
See them both.
See them both.
See
because
them both.
The big one across the road's a wonderful attraction.
Of course it is.
Steam engine, so, and they need support. So.
Of course.
We actually built the little model railway over there too. While I was building this, when it was a bit cold over here, I'd go over there and we totally renovated.
Fantastic.
Made a little railway for them over there too. So
it's
so
fabulous.
We're working together.
So you're working together as a team.
Yeah,
the big railway and the little railway.
Yeah.
Do they sell coffee over there?
No, they don't. No, I was selling coffees over there, and I said, look, you're going to have to get more volunteers because I can't be two places at once.
No, what they need to do is put a big sign over there and say, coffee and biscuits, go and see Audrey across the road.
That's right.
And if they want to come in and see the railway, how much does it cost?
Well, it's normally $5 for adults and $3 for kids.
Okay.
If you're under five, you get in for free.
Which is fabulous.
But if people say that they've heard you on the radio... I'll look after them.
Okay, fabulous. All right, listeners.
I don't know how I'll do it, but they'll be pleasantly surprised.
Give them a half cup of coffee or something.
I'll give them something.
All right. I know you will, because
I
can see it in your eyes. You're passionate about what you do, and you're doing a wonderful thing.
Thank you very much for the town of Don.
You know, I always finish, well, you probably don't, but I always finish each segment with a song. Now, do you have a favourite Australian singer or band? Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, Phil, I'm a singer myself.
Really?
Yeah, and my stage name is Gina.
Gina?
Yeah. So
do you have music? Do you have CDs?
I do. I have a CD.
Okay.
Would you be so kind as maybe playing a song that I have on my CD called Have I Told You Lately That I Love You? And I'd like to dedicate that to my husband.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to dedicate that to me.
Oh, well, all right. If you like, it can be for you too.
No. We'll do that. So you've got your own CD. What's the name of the CD?
Especially for You.
Especially for You. And you want to dedicate one to your husband, Dan. What's it called again?
Actually, his name's Tom.
Tom?
Yeah, Dan's my lover.
Oh!
But you can dedicate it to him too.
Dan and Tom, you're a lucky lady.
Have I told you lately that I love you?
All right, there you go. Listen, stick around for more of Roman Oz. We're going to be back with more of that straight after Gina Davidson's Have I Told You Lately That I Love You? And it's going out to her husband, Tom.
Yes.
And her lover,
and
Dan.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
G'day listeners, Phil C here. This is the part of the program where we get to talk to the famous Jeff Dieth. You've become famous now, my friend. I hear you've sold another franchise for Checkweight. How's all that going for you before we start our discussion?
Awesome, Phil. Yeah, Jason in Sydney has been kicking a lot of goals and doing a lot of waves down in Sydney. Actually, in December, he did more waves than I did, which is pretty awesome for
him.
So there's a lot of interest, which is really good, and a lot of people concerned about their weights and want to know.
Yes.
So that's awesome.
Yes.
And then, recently we've had Greg start in Newcastle and Lake Macquarie area.
Okay.
So that's also exciting.
Fabulous. Yeah. So two franchises since we've been chatting. Business is booming for Checkweight. I'm so glad that people are becoming really, really conscious because, you know, what we see on the road is sometimes nightmarish. So I'm glad people are starting to seek the right information.
And I think the other thing from my point of view is I'm starting to see more and more people who are actually legal. And, I mean, we check 15 things. They're not all weight, but, you know, there's 15 things that we check.
Right.
And we're getting quite a few now that are actually getting 15 out of 15 or at least, you know, sort of 12 to 15 ticks.
Wow.
So, and that's really gratifying to see that a lot of people are getting it right.
Yes.
Some of these people have been caravanning for a while and upgraded to big vans, but a lot of them are new caravanners as well. So that's really pleasing to see that a lot of people are very conscious of their weights and not overloading.
Fantastic. So as my listeners are aware, you've been away and we've reran some of your more popular episodes, but now you're back. What are we going to discuss today?
Well, I thought we might talk about the new Land Cruiser 300.
Right.
But we're starting to weigh a few now.
Okay.
So I thought I'd just talk about the Land Cruiser 300 as opposed to the 200 series and whether they, Toyota, in their wisdom, fixed the payload issues that I've talked about in the past.
Well, this is excellent. This is a brand new topic because we've never actually discussed the 300, have we? Not at all. I don't think you'd weighed any at that stage.
No, I think I weighed the first one back in October.
Okay.
And I think I've weighed about three now, and Jason's done two or three in Sydney as well.
Fantastic.
So we're starting now to get a few figures.
Right. So what can you tell us about the Land Cruiser 300 series?
Well, the couple that I've weighed were the GX series. So that's, I suppose, the entry-level Land Cruiser.
Yes.
And I suppose why I make a point of that is that people quite often don't realise that the bottom end of a model, whether it's a Land Cruiser or a Ranger or D-Max or MUX,
yep,
generally has more payload than the top of the line.
Okay.
So if you're comparing, you can't sort of just compare Land Cruisers.
Right.
So a GX has less kit and less fancy stuff and less leather and all that sort of stuff, as opposed to the Sahara, which has more electronics and wind-up windows and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're all got wind-up windows now, but automatic windows, but it's got less stuff.
Okay.
So you actually find that the bottom of the series, or the GX in this case, has a little bit more payload than what you would have in a Sahara.
Okay.
So that's something to bear in mind.
Okay.
I mean, the GX has around 870 in payload, whereas the older model, the 200, had about 710,
yes,
and a Sahara only about 610.
Ah,
so you can see you've got about 200 kilos more payload than a 200 series Sahara in a 300 series GX.
Okay.
And, like without, calling us all fat, 200 kilos is two people. So,
yes.
Or 280 kilos, that means you've got, two free people, I suppose, in the new 300 series as opposed to Sahara 200 series.
Okay. Well, that's interesting because, a lot of people think, I got a Land Cruiser, I can do anything. But there's actually a difference which probably a lot of people wouldn't be aware of, me included.
That's right.
The difference between a GX and a Sahara. There's a couple of hundred kilos of payload there.
That's right.
Wow.
So, so we've got to probably, but when we're looking at it, the V6, the new 300 series is actually lighter. So it starts off lighter.
Okay.
However, Toyota, in their wisdom, dropped the GVM, the gross vehicle mass limit, by 70 kilos from 3350 to 3280.
Okay.
So potentially there could have been even more payload had they kept the GBM the same.
Right.
I'm sure there's engineering reasons why they didn't keep it the same, but bearing in mind most people will probably get it upgraded, there's probably good reasons why, in my opinion, they could have kept it the same.
Okay.
So in essence, you're probably getting around 100K more payload with a 300 series than you are in a 200 series.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, potentially one person and a carton of beer.
Okay. Or a small small fridge. Yeah, a small fridge and a lot of beer. A beer fridge. Fair enough.
So I'm just going to use the example of one of the vans that I did weigh and sort of give you some actuals in related to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a standard VX, sorry, GX. So it has a GVM of 3280.
Right.
And it weighed in at 3310. So he didn't have much in it. So he was actually 30 kilos over.
Okay.
So all he had in it was two people, a full tank of fuel, and a small drawer and fridge in the back.
Right.
So there wasn't a lot of stuff in it. The tow ball weight was high. It was in the high 300s. I mean, sorry, just under 350,
yep.
So 340. And his van, you know, was a 3.5, a 3,300 caravan.
Okay.
So the tow ball was around where it should be, might have been, you know, a few kilos heavy.
Okay.
So you can see that, you know, without a lot of stuff in it, you know, just a small fridge and a couple of tubs. I don't think it was actually drawers, it was tubs.
Right.
With a few things in the back. He was right on his limit.
Wow.
Of his GVM.
Jeez. Was he surprised at that?
He'd done his figures.
Yep.
He'd read my blog about why Carillion Cruisers were over. And he thought he would be about 30 or 40 under.
Right.
And in fact, he was 30 over.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
The other reason the GX is a little bit lighter is it's not a 7-seat. So you don't have those extra 2 seats that you can actually, you know, that weigh something and are added in,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people take out in the 200 series if they're going around Australia anyway. Mm.
Yep, absolutely.
The other thing to note is that the rear axle weight went down by 30 kilos. 20 kilos. So it used to be 1950 and they reduced it to 1930. So in this instance, he was 1,900 on the rear axle.
Right.
So he was only 30 k's under his maximum rear axle weight.
Okay.
And bear in mind that he had probably no more than about 50 kilos in the back of the vehicle and a 340 kilo tow ball weight. That was a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, when we weighed it, though, we talked to him about moving the weight forward, you know, that he did have in the tubs and, you know, folding the seats down and moving the stuff forward, which would take a little bit of pressure off that rear axle.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, look, it was disappointing. I think we've done one other that was substantially over. When I say substantially, up in the, you know, the 100, 120 kilos over on its GVM and over on its rear axle.
Jeez.
And I've done another one which had nothing in the back and a nice Jayco caravan. Well weighted, and he was about 70 kilos under his GVM.
Okay.
But he had absolutely zero in the back of the Land Cruiser.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I suppose to me, I think it's a, you know, from a towing point of view, I think it's a missed opportunity by Toyota to, if they had have left the GVM, you know, higher at that 3350 and left the rear axle a bit high,
mm-hmm.
I think we would have far less Land Cruiser owners needing GVM upgrades and being over on the roads.
Wow, so, okay. Interesting. And they're not cheap vehicles, as you know. I mean, Toyota are right up there with the price. You'd think you'd have a lot more flexibility to be able to put things in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I suppose it's just a warning. I'm not saying they're not a good tow vehicle. I think, you know, most people who tow with Land Cruisers are pretty happy with, and I'm talking 200 and 300 series here.
For sure.
You know, they're happy with the power, they're happy with the footprint, they're happy with the stability. And, yeah, unfortunately, you've got a pretty roomy vehicle which you can't put much weight in. So, And just think too, these were just stock standard. So there was no bull bars, there's no winches, no roof racks, nothing like that.
Wow.
So if you start putting a bull bar and winches and roof racks on a Land Cruiser, even the 300 series,
yes,
you will be overweight.
Goodness, mate.
Unless you get a GPM upgrade.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not always a two person vehicle, is it? I mean, if you're talking about a seven seater, you would think, oh, well, it's mum and dad and two or three kids. So there's a couple of kids in the back there. That would have put him in an awkward situation, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you put three kids in the back and then you've got, you know, a fridge in the back of either a 200 or a 300 series and tow it, hook it up to a caravan.
Yes.
You're overweight.
Wow. Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of people don't realise that. You know, they go in and, of course, the sales guys goes, yeah, 3.5 towing, that's fine.
Yes.
But it's the other weight limits that they're not looking at.
Yeah.
And that's your rear axle and your total weight of the vehicle.
Yes.
Of course, it's in the small print, you know, in the owner's manual and in the sales brochure. It's in the fine print that no one ever reads.
The fine print, you need a magnifying glass to find. That's how fine Absolutely. The print is.
Yeah.
Wow.
So just be aware. Look, I think it's slightly better from a payload point of view, slightly better than the 200 series, mm-hmm. but it didn't really fix the problem.
No.
Which is unfortunate.
Well, it is when you consider the price of the blessed thing. It's, you know, you're paying top dollar for these vehicles. You think you'd be able to do a bit more with them. And I think the people that got them, they're the people who don't realise, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people out there, they think, 200 series, 300 series, I can tow anything with that. And then you see them with five bicycles hanging off the back and three screaming kids in the back. And goodness, you know, imagine. What sort of a scenario they be in, you know what I mean? So
I've seen plenty that are overweight, so I don't have to imagine.
No, I know. Fair enough. Well, that's a bit disappointing for the Toyota people out there. You really have to consider what you're going to be doing with it before you go out and lay out so much money to find out that you may not be getting quite, you know, what you were expecting or hoping for.
Yeah, and we might do in a future podcast, but we'll talk about why payload is king, both in the caravan and the vehicle.
Okay,
fabulous. Why I look at payload instead of towing capacity.
Fabulous idea, my friend. I think we should do that. I definitely think we should do it. Anything else you'd like to say about them, the 300s?
No, but if Toyota want to give me one to analysis and drive around, I'd be happy to accept one.
That'd be lovely. I think if they want to loan me one, I can talk to my friends at 7th Street and get a Dakar or something, and we'll whack that on the back and we'll find out how it's going to perform out on the open highway and whether or not we're going to be overweight before we pull out of the yard. Interesting subject.
No worries.
All right, Jeff. Well, mate, thank you so much. It's great to have you back on the program, my friend.
Thanks, Phil, for having me.
No, it's always a pleasure, my friend. There's a wealth of information. I think we'd be selling ourselves short to not have you. Now, what can we play for you? You know, it's exactly the same format. It's got to be Aussie. What can we play for the Land Cruiser 300 series?
You're the voice, aren't you, Phil?
You're the voice by John Farnham, and you're the voice when it comes to weights and measures, my friend. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Thanks, Bill. Travel safe and enjoy the road.
There you go, listeners. Jeff Diaz from Check Weight. Stick around. We'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after Johnny Farnham's You're the Voice.
Chance to turn the pages over.
Hi, g'day listeners. Phil C here. This is Roman Oz, and I'm coming to you from the big Monday Bash. And the guests on the program today is Debbie Ford and Chrissy Huxley. How are you, Chrissy?
Great. Wonderful.
Thank you so much for talking to me. And Debbie Ford, you are Chrissy's support person.
That's correct, yes.
Now, tell us a little bit. Debbie, you've been to the bash before.
Yep, sure have.
So how many bashes have you been to? Is this your second or have you been to others?
No, this is my second bash.
Okay,
yep.
And you're one of the volunteer workers here?
Yeah, yeah.
You are. And what's your job here, Debbie?
I'm a road marshal, yeah.
You're a road marshal.
Yeah. So excellent. I'm one of the first people that people see when they arrive at the front gate.
Okay.
So, yeah, love it. Everyone's excited to be here. And, we just check the wristbands and the car stickers to ensure everyone's, paid and, yeah. So, yeah, it's fun.
So how did you find out, how did you find out about volunteering for the big Monday Bash?
We went to purchase a ticket in 2021 and they were sold out.
Okay.
And then just stumbled across something on a web page that said about volunteering, and we really were excited to see the lineup.
Okay.
And so we thought, oh, well, it's the only way to go if we're going to want to, to see the entertainment. So, yeah, that's why we volunteered. This time round, we volunteered because it was so much fun last time.
So much fun last time.
Yeah.
So you get to see the concert.
Yep.
And you don't get to have to pay.
That's correct.
And you enjoy doing what you're doing as a volunteer.
Love it. It's a great community. Everyone's really upbeat. It's fun. Okay. Great way to meet people. Yeah. And we actually have the best position, I believe, in the whole campground.
Okay. So tell us, you're also here with your partner.
Yep.
Now, what does your partner do? Is he a marshal as well?
He is, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Harry, have a chat. No. He's...
Harry. Have a chat.
He's over there now.
I love that. He's over there chatting somewhere. He's left me with the two good-looking girls, listeners. All right. Now, Chrissy Huxley, listeners, I understand, Chrissy, you originally bought a ticket and see the show.
I bought my ticket. I found out Deb was coming, and it gave me that little bit of a nudge to really want to come out. And,
mm-hmm.
and so I bought a ticket. Didn't feel confident in
Being a volunteer. Yeah.
And then with Deb's support and backup, I kind of spoke up on Sunday and said, maybe I might put my hand up to volunteer.
Okay.
And I've just done my first shift.
Fantastic. Yep. Now, the reason why you didn't feel very comfortable or a bit anxious, I'll just let the listeners know, you were involved in an accident a little while ago, and as a result of that, you sustained a brain injury.
Yes.
And this is the reason why Debbie is your support person.
Yes.
So you've come out here with the intention of enjoying the music.
Yes.
But with, I guess, the strength and support and the help from Debbie,
yep.
you decided to have a go at being a volunteer.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I guess next year when you come out here, you won't have to pay the fee because it's about
$600
for a ticket, isn't it? It's
not
cheap.
No, it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
I'd bought the 2-day early pass and
mm-hmm.
and the insurance in case I couldn't come.
Okay.
And I'm glad I actually put my hand up to volunteer.
Fantastic.
It was a good experience. Thanks to Dee, who was my leader over on the information tent.
Yeah.
And Deb and her partner Steve, they've been my travel buddies because it's my first time.
Yes, travelling alone.
Travelling alone.
Because you are travelling alone.
Yes.
And you didn't actually travel with Deb and Steve for the entire journey, did you? You met them halfway here or something.
Yeah, we met up in
Cobar.
Mm-hmm. And came from there. So I did a family hop between home and Cobar.
Yeah.
And... and towing my van, I've only been back on the road.
2 years licensed, haven't you?
Back on the road, being able to drive since December.
Okay.
December, just I hitched, got my van serviced and my car serviced.
So you've got you're towing a caravan as well.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm not going to mention too much. I'm not going to dwell on the injury, but I know you were involved in a pretty bad accident.
Yes.
And you did sustain a little bit of brain damage, but hey, it's not holding you back. You're travelling alone, you're towing a caravan, getting your life back in order, and here you are volunteering, and you're at the information desk. Now, I don't know which is more difficult. I think you got the more difficult job,
because you've got to answer a million questions. All you have to do, Deb, is you just kind of smile, look pretty, and wave them through. So you've definitely got the more difficult job.
It wasn't, Chrissy. I was surprised I actually picked it up. It took me back to previous life experience, I guess, and I felt confident with it, so...
So now that you've had the opportunity of doing this, Chrissy, do you think if Deb's not available... First of all, Deb, are you going to be available for this next year? Are you going to make...
I totally hope so. I love it. It's great. Yeah.
So you'd recommend being a volunteer at these events for anybody?
Look, I would, but I don't want everyone to do it because otherwise they're not going to make any money. And we're not going to get such a good spot. Look, I think it's a way to go. We had the opportunity, as I said, to purchase a ticket this year and we went, no, Volunteering's fun.
You're safe. Well, you're virtually getting paid, aren't you? Because the price of a ticket is it's a 3-day event. It's about $600 or $700 per ticket. So for you and your husband, you're looking at anywhere between $1,200 to $1,400.
That's right.
You've saved that.
Yep.
So it means you get to buy lots of merchandise.
That's right.
Or for your fuel.
Yep.
And you get to see the show for free.
Yep.
So what about you now? Back to you, Chrissy. Now, if for whatever reason Debbie and Steve can't come, do you think you'll come by yourself?
Yes, I reckon I possibly could come by myself.
Yes.
And I may even bring my disabled son too.
How old's your disabled son?
He's 37.
Okay, 37.
Yeah. He didn't want to come this time because he likes 5-star.
Okay.
Well, you know
what you got to tell him? You got to say, son, if you want 5-star, I'm going to give you 5 million stars.
Yes,
because
yes.
You can set your swag up and stare at the sky.
Yes.
Because there's nothing like being out here.
Yes.
Is it? It's an absolutely fantastic place.
It's been great.
Yeah.
It's handy having Steve to fix things that I can't.
Okay.
So that would be a little concern, I guess, mm-hmm. if I didn't have a support person to come with me.
Yes.
But I think I'm willing to give it a go.
Fantastic.
Single women in camps actually attract people who want to help, I believe. I don't know, around here everyone's like, good, you know. Now, someone just walked past here before because I was just sitting here on my lonesome and, you know, do you need anything?
Yeah. I notice that because I do a lot of travelling, as my listeners know, and I do interview a lot of female travellers.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask them the question, do you have difficulty? Do you, you know, worry about where you stay and so on? And they go, look, as a lone female traveller, there's always a lot of men that are willing to help.
Yeah.
You know, they don't try and hit on you.
No.
They just say, hey, girls, you need a hand, and all they want to do is help you out.
Yeah.
So I don't think you'll have a fear if you do decide to come by yourself. And if you come as a volunteer, don't forget there's 450 volunteers here.
Yes.
There's somebody's going to be able to help you out if you need that.
My experience today and watching Steve and Deb, I would recommend anyone put their hand up to volunteer
at the Monday Bash.
Yeah.
So what about the Birdsville Bash? Is it something you think that both you ladies might like to have a crack at? Is it on your bucket list, Deb, or yours, Chrissy?
Look, I think it is on my bucket list, but I am concerned about the trip.
Yep.
There.
So you definitely want to...
I'd need someone.
You'd want to go within a group.
Yeah.
And that's a sensible thing. That's a sensible thing to do.
I mean, when I leave here, I'm heading down to the Great Ocean Road.
Okay.
And then doing the coast road all the way home.
Okay.
To Coffs. But I've got contacts all the way
along the way along. Yeah.
And I'm short enough, I don't have to pop my roof
on
my pop-top caravan. I can walk around in there without
having to raise the roof up.
And there's phone and internet service too, so you don't have to be so anxious.
That was a bit of the scary thought.
So you're going to continue on your own, Chrissy, and Deb and your husband, you guys are just...
Unfortunately, back to work.
Back to work. Oh, well, somebody's got to keep the country running.
That's right. Yep.
So what do you think you're going to be doing tomorrow, Chrissy? Like, Deb's a full-time marshal on the roads. You did a day today in the information tent.
I'm going over to put my name down to do another shift.
Do another shift tomorrow?
In the information tent.
Because there's so many things to do. They got the toilet angels, which apparently love that job. I thought it'd be... quite uncomfortable, unpleasant, but they all think it's great.
So. Steve did a Danny Angel job last April, didn't you?
Alrighty. Mm. I'll have to talk to Steve about the Danny Angel later, maybe, I think. Okay.
I'm a little bit restricted with how long I can stand or sit.
Okay.
So a position where I can sit and stand
up and down.
Up and down.
Is good for me, and that worked well.
Fair enough.
Yep. They accommodated you very well.
They did.
Yeah, yeah, they've looked after you, yeah, and I'm sure they'll find you something to do tomorrow. Yep. And By the time the bash is over, you would have probably done a little bit in each role, so when you put your hand up next year, they'll be able to utilise you in any department.
Something, yeah, something hopefully. Like that. Hopefully.
Fantastic.
A roaming.
A roaming volunteer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Girls, I've got to wind this up now. It's been fabulous talking to both of you. Thank you so much, Debbie.
Same to you. Thanks, Mark. Lovely to meet you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. That's Debbie Ford, listeners, and Chrissy Huxley from Coffs Harbour. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk today, girls.
Thank you.
I'm going to wind her up. What can I play? I've got to play a song. It's got to be Aussie. What's your favourite Aussie song?
Keith Urban, Making Memories of Us.
Oh, fabulous. I think Making Memories of Monday Bash is definitely what you're going to be doing at this experience.
Oh, most definitely.
All righty. Stick around for more of Roman Oz, listeners, straight after Making Memories of Us by Keith Urban. Thank you so much for your time today, girls.
Thank you, thank Phil. You. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm gonna be here for you, baby, and I'll be a man of my word. Speak the language in a voice that you have never heard. I wanna sleep with you forever, and I wanna die in your arms. In a cabin by a meadow where the wild bees swarm. And I'm gonna love you like nobody loves you. And I'll earn your trust making memories of us. I wanna honor your mother. And I wanna learn from your pa. I wanna steal your attention like a bad outlaw. And I wanna stand out in a crowd for you, a man among men. I wanna make your world better than itself. Trust making memories of us. We'll follow the rainbow wherever the four winds blow. And there'll be a new for you from now on. This you know somehow. You've been stretched to the limits, but it's all right now. And I'm gonna make you this promise. If there's life after this, I'm gonna be there to meet you with a warm. Yes, I am. And I'm gonna love you like nobody loves you. And I'll earn your trust making memories of us. Oh, I'm gonna love.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roman Oz.